Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it.
The Jamoti Podcast is powered by Sideline Interactive. Sideline Interactive is the leading manufacturer for high-quality, innovative scoring tables and LED video display boards that help coaches and schools bring more excitement to fans, create huge fundraising opportunities, and make their jobs easier. Visit sidelineinteractive.com to check out their amazing products.
Man, I'm so glad that you talked about the times where you take off in season. That is something that we rarely get into, but my thought is like, it's the would you rather game. Like, would you rather have your guys mentally and physically fresh come January and February by, like, you, we play that Monday of Thanksgiving and they're gone? What changed for me being at a private school, one, it helps because basketball is typically at Faith, it's third on their list. It's fourth sometimes. It rarely is it first or second, and that's okay. And I had a parent say, email me, because we were always doing Thanksgiving tournaments, Fantasy Alights. We always went there.
Yeah.
And email me and said, hey, my son's a senior. Thanksgiving's really important. Like, do we have to play during that time? And I thought, no. Like, no, we don't have to play during that. And so that was 8 years ago. Started taking the rest of Thanksgiving, making sure that they had that adequate Christmas time is huge. And but the whole idea too is with those off times, I always feel like they come back refreshed and maybe less beat up. Or would you rather squeeze every ounce of every second that you can have, but run the risk of January, February, them feeling like they did for you in December, where
right.
And I'm done. Whatever happens at the end of this district, I'm good. You know, we don't want that. We want them sad that it's over, not wanting it to be over.
Right. And I think that's the big piece. You know, you obviously want them playing their best basketball at the end of district. That's where you want them playing their best basketball. And juggling that and getting them to that. And also understanding, I never will forget last year, you know, we had four starters back and our sixth man back last year. You know, from a state semifinalist team. And I never will forget, we went and scrimmaged our first scrimmage of the year. And my wife and my oldest son, who's at Oklahoma Wesleyan, who played up there for 3 years. But, you know, they come to the scrimmage and is after the scrimmage. And they're like, oh my gosh, we're terrible. What is going on? And I'm like, relax. I said, not even, it's barely November. I said, just relax. It's okay. You know, we're not wanting to be our best. Now, do we want to play good? Yes. But, you know, it's okay. It's November. It's you know, I've got March in mind. I don't have November in mind. And I think learning to do that, and that's, you know, like I said, 30 years of experience getting to that point. That's not something – people that can do that right off the bat, you know, that's tough. I mean, I remember when I was coaching early, you know, every game was the dadgum Super Bowl. You know, and now that, like I said, that's not putting a, you know, an emphasis on, you know, we don't really care what happens. No, we do. We want to win every game, but understanding that there's things that we still have to improve on to get there. And, you know, one of the things that always, you know, you always hear about with last year, we were really fortunate. We have Martin Smill in our district too. I've never seen a rivalry like what we had with Martins Mill. Well, we had to play them. We played them three times, twice in district and the regional finals. And usually when you do that, if you win the first two, that third one, you don't really, sometimes you don't win that third
one. A lot of times. Hard to do.
And we were able to do it. But I think part of that is too, if you were better in district the first two times and you didn't improve, that third time's a hard one to win, but we still steadily got better.
Yep.
And I think that was one of the keys for us, was to be able to do that.
I think peaking for a team is a real thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to define sometimes, but like, what would you say the definition of peaking is? Is it playing your best basketball?
I think part of it is how it all comes together.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you can have a player individually that may play their best basketball in December. But as a team, you play your best basketball in January.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of a culmination of everything coming together, knowing how to go. I mean, you know, we played 40 games 2 years ago. We played 41 games this past year, and those kids knew each other. Yeah. They knew how to go. And so it was, you know, we didn't always play our best, but we knew what to expect out of everybody. Once you get that piece, I think that kind of is peaking, and it can come really quick in a school like ours. We could peak too early really easily, really easily.
I think that's the danger. Last year, we had a really nice senior group, and early in November, we were playing well and playing with some teams. And I think we all started to, myself included, started to maybe believe, like, not too much in ourselves, but think too far ahead. Like, the idea isn't success and wins, but trying to achieve every day. Like, achievement is the goal, mm-hmm. because achievement is better than we were yesterday. But man, we started to, I think, play a little bit too high of a level early, and then injuries happened, and we started to feel like we're not where we were then. I think the nice, not that you want to make sure that you suck at the beginning. That's not the goal, right. But make sure that you do feel like there is steady achievements throughout. And I think it was that rare year where we were flipped in that.
Yeah. And like I said, that's going to happen sometimes. That's going to be, you know, that's going to be a big piece to it. And, you know, I did have that little bit of concern last year that might happen because we had so many guys back. And so it almost made me feel pretty good when my wife and my son were saying, God, yeah. What's wrong?
All right. We're in a good spot.
I was like, okay, good. We have a lot of improvement to do. That's a good thing. So
here's a question that I don't get to cover a lot, so I'm excited for you to take it, is your philosophy on scouting reports and in-game adjustments. Now, knowing that you press, that might change up a little bit about the way you view scouting reports or anything, but I'd love for you to hear your thoughts on those.
Right. You know, the funny thing about scouting reports is I go back to the old school, reading John Wooden stuff. You know, I always loved it. I could just eat that stuff up all the time. But, you know, he never scouted, never. He says in his books that, you know, he was so focused on his guys and his program and what he was doing that he felt like if he could do what they were supposed to do, that they would be, you know, they would be great at it. And, of course, when you have Kareem and you have, you know, the guys that he has, yeah, of course that's true. But
that's not that special. Yeah.
Right. And I took, you know, early in my career, scouting wasn't nearly as easy as it is now. You know, there wasn't huddle. There wasn't, yeah. You know, you had to go physically sit because basketball coaches are notorious for not sharing game film and that stuff with each other. Football coaches, they have that down. I mean, that part,
yeah,
they've got.
That's true.
Yeah, but they also know that they have a whole week to break that stuff down, whereas we might have a day to look at it. But scouting reports, I like seeing what teams do against what we do. It doesn't do me any good to go see to go watch or go get a film when I know from, let's say I get a film on Martin's Mill and the team that they're playing runs a 2-3 zone.
Yeah.
And just sits back. That doesn't do us any good because that's not what we do.
Yeah.
So it needs to be, I need to find film that about people that do stuff, what we do or similar to it, like they'll press. Okay. So how do they set up in a press breaker? You know, who's their best players? Obviously we want to look at that. But you know, there's a few players, and Martin's Mill has one of them. There's a few players where we'll say, all right, this kid, we can't let him breathe, you know. But everything else, well, let's just play our game. If he scores 40 and we win, that's okay. All right. Now, if he scores 40 and we lose by 20, there's a problem there. Yeah. You know, but as far as the scouting piece, I think, you know, knowing kind of how what they do against us, who their players are, I don't spend an extraordinary amount of time breaking film down as far as like looking at opponents Once again, I'm more focused on, I do take the John Wooden approach. I'm more focused on what we do. We'll watch film and try to get some of that. As much film as a lot of people watch, we probably don't watch nearly as much as some do. I'm more doing it on the court, adjusting, things of that nature, in-game adjustments. I think that for some reason, I have a little bit of, I can see it and I can adjust. I mean, one of the great, the last two games, the state semifinal game against Clarendon and the state final game against Lipan, against Clarendon, we were down 20 points in the first half, and we come back and we cut it to 5, and we have the ball twice with under 2 minutes to go, and had the ball twice. So we had an opportunity that we didn't quite get. Lipan, we were down 19 points in the first half. We come back and we cut it, and we actually took the lead in that game. We took the lead with probably about 4 or 5 minutes to go in the game. And I still have only watched the first 2.5 quarters of that game, which was basically the last 2 days. Yeah. I haven't watched. It's just hard for me to watch because I know we took the lead and we lost it. And we made, like I told the guys, because we're watching it with the guys. And I was like, look, I said, this is painful. I said, it's painful for me. It's painful for you. Now, would every other team in the state wanted to be where we were and lost that game? Yes. I said, because they didn't get there. I said, it's painful, but I don't want you to think that it was any one thing that you did, because there were some timely turnovers. There were some timely missed shots. There were some timely breakdowns on defense. That it was basically, we had the ball down 2 with 30 seconds left, and we turned it over. And I was like trying to tell the kids, that's not why we lost. I said, but if anything, I look at myself and I see, what adjustments did I mess up on? I said, I don't want you to see, there's nothing that you did that caused that game. I said, it's something that I will take that, and I will look at that, and I'll adjust to that, because basketball is a perfect game filled with mistakes. It's a perfect game that will never be played perfectly. And, so the mistakes are going to happen. That stuff, a blown layup in the first quarter, you never know what that's going to turn out to in the fourth quarter in a 1-point game.
Yep.
So looking at that, as far as adjustments, we made some adjustments at the halftime of both those games that got us back in. And the kids made adjustments. I mean, we're watching that state final game, and I mean, you could just see that we were just had such frustration, and we were down, and we just in the first half, I was like, how did we not lose by 40? I mean, I was watching the kids on the court, and just like it was just terrible. You could tell, but then they changed it, and they fought back, and they changed their mindset, and it speaks so well of the kids that they were able to do that and get themselves back in it. And so I think, part of that is, making some adjustments. Part of that is, okay, so we like full court pressure. We run sort of a diamond press. It's kind of a hybrid of it. We'll man up and then trap, and it looks like a run and jump sometimes. Sometimes we'll just run full court man-to-man. Sometimes we'll drop back into a 1-3-1, half court press, and just do different things. Have just little adjustments that we make throughout the game. And I think that, that we do a good thing. Now, offensively, it's still whoever can put the ball in the hole. You got to put them in a place to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And if the other team knows that this guy's the one that puts the ball in the hole, they're going to do everything they can to stop that. So you got to be able to combat that kind of stuff. And, but it was one of those things where I think making in-game adjustments, whether it be defensively, offensively, personnel-wise, I think that's another thing. We had a kid that came off the bench in the state final game. And, he just gave us a spark. He scored 10 points, I think, all in the second half. And a sophomore kid that came off the bench. And, so being able to go with him and trust him a little bit more in that role. And, it was so funny. I still remember it. You very rarely hear the fans or pay attention to the fans and coach. Well, you don't admit you do, right?
Yeah, right.
It was so funny. This kid was playing great. He really was, but I could tell there was a little bit, I don't know if it was a little fatigue or so. I just felt it was time to get him out of the game. for just a minute or two, just give them a little breather. I put somebody in for me, and I could audibly hear our fans groan at the state final game. I could audibly, it's across the gym. It wasn't even behind me. It was across the gym. I could literally.
He's like, calm down, please.
But it was one of those things where, you know, and he got a little break. It might have even been 30 seconds to a minute. Just got and then went back in. But it was so funny because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I think that's the responsibility that coaches feel, is that there's so many people invested in what we do. You know, it's a game. Yeah, it's just a game. But, man, you know, when you put a jersey on that has the town name on it or the school name on it, you know, people are invested in it, especially if you're successful. And so, yeah, they live and die, and it means a lot to them. It does. And so, you know, if you kind of weigh that in your decision-making process, it can get kind of heavy. But I've seen coaches, I don't care what anybody thinks. This is what I'm going to do. Well, that you really can't do that. You really, yeah. I mean, it's not, you don't change what you do because somebody has a different opinion than you, but you have to be open. You have to hear things and look at your team. Okay. Does it, you know, I never will forget. My dad would come to my games as a young coach, and he'd say, man, you need to do this. And I'd get so mad at him. I'm like, you haven't been to one practice. You haven't been any, all you do is you see the game. And then I'd try it. Dadgum if it didn't work. You know, that would, I'm like, yeah, does he know that? He hadn't been in the game, you know, I mean, in the practice. And so that would always frustrate me. But I kind of learned, I think, from then to kind of listen and have some open ears about things. And that doesn't mean you do every whim that everybody has, but you're able to look at it objectively and see what can help improve the team.
I want to celebrate you on a couple things. You know, one, you gave the credit to your players when they were down 19 and came back and made a great run to take the lead. Yes, it's their effort. That doesn't happen, though, without a great culture, like a culture that you helped instill and put in there. And I also want to celebrate you on taking the ownership of the loss. I think that's I can't even remember like who I heard that from or how many different coaches have talked about, but I do think it's an important lesson or an idea for our players to know, is that when they win, it's because of all of them. And when we lose, it's my fault. You take that off. There was a coach here at Faith a few years ago that overheard him talking. He's not here anymore. Him talking to other coaches and teachers about how if the kids would just do what they were told, we would win, like putting it all on them. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of a reminder for me that even though I might think that, and there might be some truth to that, like we're not executing the way that we're capable of, but ultimately for them, we take that pressure off. Losses are all our fault. Wins are all because of you, man. Talk about a culture builder throughout the year that, again, probably allows your guys not to quit when they're down 19, right?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and then on the other side of that, you know, just help them to understand that, yeah, they're going to make mistakes, to be accountable for their mistakes, but understand one play. That's the hardest thing, right, in basketball. You see the one play at the end of the game, and that's why we lost. No, or that's why we won. No, how many plays are there in basketball, right? I mean, that happened. I remember I was looking the other day at I hadn't watched the film yet, but they have the play-by-play on paper that they give you after the end. So I was just reading through that, and just the, you know, Lipan 2 points, Lipan 2 points, Lipan 3 points, you know, you missed free throw, made, you know, all the way down. I'm reading it, and then all of a sudden I start seeing a change. And I start seeing that, you know, and you see it on paper and you're like, you know, so there's all these different little things that happen throughout a basketball game that, you know, you want kids to be accountable for, but also, you know, understanding that part of it is they don't want to, I don't want ever, you know, the responsibility to a kid feel like I'm the reason we lost.
Yeah.
Or on the other side of it too, I don't ever want them to get big headed and say, I'm the reason we won. Because it is a team sport, you know, if you're out there golfing, you know, yeah, okay, I'm the reason we lost.
That's all you. That's all you.
But you know, when you're in a team sport, it's all hands on deck and getting those kids that buy in. You know, I was talking to kids, you know, we were watching film, and of course there were only three kids that played in that game that we've got this year. And I was like, look, you guys that are in this room, there's 12 guys in the room watching that film. I said, what you guys got to understand is that, number one, if you didn't even suit up for this game, you had a part in this game. You had a part in us getting here, whether it was in practice, whether it was filling up water bottles, whether it was, you know, whatever the thing, you had a part in this and helping them understand and getting that part of it, that it's the whole thing, put it together. And so I think that kind of, I'm hoping that kind of helps them out moving forward.
And I do want to add one thing to my point. Because as soon as I was done, I thought, man, I left out like a huge piece. Mm-hmm. I think it's there when they win, it's because of them, the team, not just one.
Right.
When they lose, it's because of us, with the exception of lack of effort.
Right. Yeah.
Because if effort's not there, then yeah, like we need to have a serious talk about excellence. Mm-hmm. You know, what we're trying to achieve every day. But when it does, because we've all had those losses where, golly, they played their tails off. They just miss shots. Like, sometimes it does come down, especially if you run and gun and press and do things. Like, how many live ball turnovers do you get? How many of those convert to layups? How well do we shoot? You know, how many, what were we from the free throw line? We're typically a 75% team. Golly, tonight we're 52. You know, were we trying to miss? Heck no. So it's like, the effort piece has to be there.
Yes. Yes. I agree with that. I think, and you know, that's one of those things where the kids kind of, you know, are they buying into the fact that, you know, to give that effort every, and like I said, we played 81 games over the last two seasons. Did we play hard all 81 games? Probably not. I could probably go find some games where we didn't play hard, especially games where we thought we were better than somebody.
Yeah.
That's a piece. Cause you're going to inevitably play teams that you know you're 30 points better than. And
but then your culture, 30, yeah. It has. Then your culture has to kick in, though. Like if like if this is really what we believe and how we want to show up every day, then, and I don't think it's bad sometimes to acknowledge the situation you're in. Like it's not sometimes knowing beforehand that you're about in a tournament, you're about to play a team that, it's just an inferior opponent, whether either skill, athleticism in some way. It's not bad to acknowledge that, because what we don't want to try to do as a coach is act like that's the same as what you're going to see here. But the standards, we can hold them to that, because I think it always goes back to that culture piece.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just we in our drill today, we had, you know, we really focus on running back defensively. It doesn't matter if I'm on the baseline, and the team's going the other direction on offense. If that guy is at the three-point line going for a breakaway layup, if I'm not sprinting back, I said, then I stop him and I get on him. And I say, look, I said, and I'll say, I know it's August. I know, you know it's August.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if we're creating that, it kind of goes to that, you know, situational. If you acknowledge that, and be honest with yourself. Yeah, I didn't try that play. I didn't try that one. I said, we're creating that habit. We're creating that you know, where we're going to run hard. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's not easy. You know, we could walk the ball up the floor and get in the old Dean Smith four corners. Shoot, heck, how successful were they at that? That, you know, I didn't like it. I, as a person, I wouldn't have liked to play in it. I didn't like to watch it, because I'm just like, come on. Let's go. Let's play this game. Let's go. You know, it's like, you know, it goes back to, I just like the speed and pace and play of the game. The new rule about the free throws drives me crazy. One of the arguments about it, you know, the argument is pace of play. Let's get the game over with quicker. We're already the shortest game in high school.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we play an hour and 15 minute long basketball game, that's a long game.
Yep.
Tell me a football game that lasts an hour and 15 minutes. Halftime's 28 minutes.
Coach, yeah, that, I was about to say, that's the first quarter. That's the
yes,
first.
Yes, and then baseball, you think, what if they got done with a baseball game in an hour and 15 minutes? I mean, you know, so let's make our game that much shorter.
Yeah.
Because, or use that as an argument to make the game shorter. You know,
so tell me what you think about the new free throws.
I don't like the purist in me likes the 1-and-1.
Okay.
I don't like going away from the 1-and-1. I think that takes some pressure away from the game. I think it takes some good, you know, let's be honest, a kid, your team's down one or tied and you're shooting free throws with 5 seconds left. Let's say you're shooting a 1-and-1. There's a lot more. If you're shooting two, not as much pressure.
Definitely affects the fourth quarter and end of games, you know, no doubt.
And I think now the other side of it is, too, is it's going to bring into – it almost brings in-game situations into every quarter. Because let's say you have three fouls and there's 15 seconds left to go. You can get a foul, stop play, reset, not let them get a good shot. You know, not let them have that shot at the end of the quarter.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those things where – I think it's gonna affect the game. Now, like I said, I don't know. I mean, you know, they say, well, the girls do it. The college girls do it. Well, they have 10-minute quarters. We have 8-minute quarters.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, we played a junior high game last night. Oh, my gosh. You talking about it did not speed the play up because they called, I don't know, 7 or 8 fouls on each team each quarter. So we're shooting dadgum 2 free throws. You know, a minute and a half into the game, we're shooting 2 free throws. Like, oh my God, it's going to take forever. Yeah, I guess the good thing is it reset. You know.
Yeah. Now to that point, as a pressing coach, pressing team, where I mean, typically you're going to have more possessions, which sometimes equals more of everything, more turnovers, more assists, more shots, more fouls. Right. Do you think it will be advantageous to have it roll back to zero again, being a press?
I think so. I think that, once again, though, it depends. Sometimes you want your opponent shooting free throws because they can't shoot.
Yeah.
You know, you want them shooting and you can run an organized break to the other end on a free throw. Or, you know, but, I think it's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. Do I think it's going to change it that much? No, not really. Maybe 2 or 3 possessions a game, maybe. You might figure it may be something a little different, but –
To the same point. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
No. And like I said, just the part that as the purist, you know, somebody that I've been through, you know, it was five fouls a quarter. First it was 5 and 7. It was 5 to 1 and 1, then 7. And then I think it reset after the quarter. And then it went to 7 and 10. And then, you know, so there was no 2-shot fouls there for the longest when I was playing. Everything was a 1 and 1 except for a shooting foul.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was, you know, I date myself. I go back my first 2 years in high school, we didn't have a 3-point line. You know, 3-point line came in my junior year in high school. That's when the girls basketball went to, the girls were playing with the same size basketball the boys were.
Wow.
So, I've seen a lot of changes in it over the years, obviously. But, you know, this is just another change. I don't agree with the argument. Less box outs, less injuries.
Nobody gets hurt on blockouts. We have fouls that stop people from just slamming like full speed in. We don't have pads, we don't have helmets, and there's fouls. So yeah, I disagree with that. I kind of would say the same thing for the shot clock. I don't think it would come if we had it. I don't think it would come into play nearly as much as people think, because the SPC got it and we played at the Cistercian tournament last year with the shot clock. 4 games, less than 3 shot clock violations in over 4 games. Didn't really affect it. Like not many people out there are holding the ball like Daryl Kraft at McKinney North would do.
I think it kind of goes into that. If they, you know, I don't think it's feasible to implement it in the small schools. We don't have people, you know, our superintendent keeps our book. She loves basketball. She keeps our book. Then we have a second grade teacher that keeps the clock that's been doing it forever. And then, who would we get to run a shot clock the right way?
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Who would we get to be able to do that, to do it the right way? Then the other thing comes to, okay, would we make the same mistake college made when they put it in? They put in a 45-second shot clock. So what did everybody do? They sat back in the paint for 30 seconds.
Yep.
And then, so what happened to the scoring?
Yeah.
It plummeted. You know, and then they finally found a good number to keep it at where the scoring now has gone back up. I haven't looked at, I couldn't tell you exactly statistics, but I know that was a big piece. You know, they thought the shot clock would speed up the game. Well, they put so much time on it that it slowed the game. I mean, as far as point wise, it didn't create more offense. It created less offense.
Yeah.
You know, and then when they finally got it right, now the scoring average is going up, which I think that's part of it. I think that's part of the game. Right? The kids that play basketball are so much more skilled than whenever I played back in the 80s. I mean, you know, we were, you know, we had some skilled people, but nothing like where
they have. I do believe that internet plays a large part of that. The fact that you can just, I tell kids nowadays, you have zero. I used to have to take Pistol Pete's homework basketball VHS tapes and play it, pause it, go to my garage, work on something, come back, play it, pause it. You know, it took a long time, mm-hmm. or go to camps to learn new things.
Right.
On their phones, they just have so much. The not invention of skill trainers, because they're around when I played, but there weren't many of them. But right. Now the fact that you really can go, how big select ball is, how they're playing year-round more, and how the game has evolved to more pace and space. And, yeah, I agree with you, the skill of players. What do you think about this? What if instead of having a three-man crew, you would have a two-man crew with a third that is dedicated to doing the shot clock? Do you think that would be good, or would you rather the three-man crew, no shot clock?
You know, the.
I guess I'm getting at one. What's your opinion on it?
Right. Yeah. The two-man crew versus the three-man crew. You know, I mean, if they're solid officials, I don't think there's too much of a difference.
Nope.
If they're solid officials, I think if they're not experienced, I think sometimes you get, you know, you might have two solid officials and one that's not very good, or one that's a new official, so to speak. So it kind of, that might be a little bit, but if you have two solid officials, that doesn't bother me. I like, we're going to put pressure defense on, so the fewer eyes on us, the better.
That's true. You know, guys, listen, there's only four eyes. You can use your hands a lot. Yeah, exactly.
It's like, you know, we're definitely going to be bodying a lot more and that kind of stuff. But, you know, but it's that would, I think it would have to be somebody that would be trained in using the shot clock, but also, like, I mean, you know, there's some schools that don't have the capability financially to get some of that stuff in. I mean, I think it's a process that would take. I think 6A, 5A should have it. Yeah, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be great for the game. Because what's the argument? What's the argument to have the shot clock? Well, the guys, Calipari and Rodney Terry and, you know, all those big-time college guys – are saying, you know, the guys from Texas aren't used to playing with the shot clock when they come into college. Well, where are those guys coming from? 5A and 6A, majority. Yeah. There might be a few other guys. So, but like, you know, the kid from La Pointe is not going to go play at Kentucky very often, you know. And so that argument doesn't mix with us, but I do understand that argument to a certain extent for the kids that are going to use it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, let's first put it in. I don't know. We played a lot of select stuff this summer. We had a little pointer team that would go play select, you know, in Dallas and play those big teams. And we never want to play with the shot clock.
Yeah.
I mean, why don't they put it in that first?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the purpose of that select really is, to go to college, right? Isn't that what the big push is we're getting these kids ready and getting them exposed? Well, then why don't we put the shot clock in that first and see how that works? Well, because they put parents on the clock that are,
yeah, and to your point, it's way more. It's not as easy as just saying, get a shot clock.
Right.
It's way more to it, or else everybody would do it. NFHS would mandate it across the board, mm-hmm. you know, if it was just that simple. So I get that. I asked Dusty May in the speed round questions, it usually has the shot clock or no shot clock. And without hesitation, he said, shot clock. I said, oh, wow, okay. Like, he was very strong. And I said, well, how much time? What are you thinking? 35. He's like, 24. I was like, for high school? He's like, absolutely, 24. So there's those extremes too. But I would say for your style of play and mine, yes, defensively, that would make it really fun.
Yeah, I think so. Now, would that change if I knew that I only had to play defense for 24 seconds? Would I press as much?
Soft, maybe less of a – I'm trying to create just an end of a possession from them to right. more junk it up, take 15 seconds off of that, get right. back. You know, more like what I would think Loyola Marymount did, which is they were pressing hard until they felt like they couldn't get a steal. And then they sucked right back in and waited for you to shoot it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I look at the college game, and one of the things that bothers me about the college game is the shot clock and the rules that they changed takes away the half court defense. There's no 5 second rule. Mm. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What? So you get a kid that can just
sit
back
there.
Just back it down. Just back. Give me a 5 second call. Keep that. I wish they would have kept that one in there.
Yeah.
You know, just because you're rewarding. You're not rewarding the kid that can stay in front of someone.
Yeah. Why guard the ball hard? Like why? Yeah. Like if they're not trying to be aggressive and score, why even be out there? Because the odds of you ripping a college dude are small. And unless you're pressuring him enough to take his vision away because he's trying to do something, why guard him when he's just doing that? Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, but anyway, there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, that kind of all plays into that part. But once again, that goes back to us being adaptable, right?
Yes.
It
yeah.
is going to change. It's
full circle, change. Coach, right there. That's what you yep. just did. Yep.
It is going to change.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.